The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. It's impossible to know exactly how many lives the government has ruined with its failed war on drugs or how much money it has spent along the way. By any estimation, it's been well over $1 trillion. Are we any closer to ending the failed war on drugs than we were, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Actually, Charles, I think we are. I think we're making progress here. Over the years, I've made predictions that there'd be a day when this country would just flat out wake up and realize that prohibition doesn't work, somewhat like they did with prohibition of alcohol. They tried a decade or so of alcohol prohibition. It was a total disaster. They woke up one day and they repealed prohibition, and we went back to a more normal situation. But, you know, back then, at least they thought they had to amend the Constitution to pass on prohibitions to the people, unlike the drug war that we're putting up with today. But the modern drug war has been going on since the Nixon years in the early 70s. And the estimates actually I've seen maybe between $2 and $3 trillion. It's real hard to calculate the damage done. One of the biggest problems that we have is libertarians and conservatives and non-drug users have with arguing this case is that people think that we're endorsing the use of drugs, which is obviously not the case. One advantage I've had in fighting the war on drugs over the years has been the fact that I'm a physician. I think drugs are very dangerous. I think prescription drugs have killed more people than the illegal drugs. I'm a parent and a grandparent. I don't like the use of drugs, and I work real hard to try to explain to people why they should make good choices. But this isn't a question of drug or no drug. It's a question of who in a free society is responsible for their actions, and how do you take care of problems where there are dangers, whether it's fire or automobiles or climbing ladders? The parents are supposed to be responsible for this, not the government. Once this is turned over to the government, all you do is open up a can of worms. And that's what this war on drugs has been. It is probably equal to at least the income tax on the excuse for invading our privacy. Matter of fact, the war on drugs and the efforts to collect taxes go hand in hand in the undermining of civil liberties. But this war on drugs, I think, has made inroads. Many states now are expressing themselves, passing laws in defiance of the federal government, which in the old days, the states had the right to do this, and they should have the right to legalize marijuana or whatever they want. But still, the federal government claims that federal law always is superior to state laws, and yet I see this as a wonderful opportunity to bring liberals and conservatives together, because liberals tend to be more open about the use of marijuana. But if it comes down to states' rights, which has now gotten a bad word because they paint people who talk about states' rights, but this is what we're talking about, solving problems at the local level. So here we have a lot of liberals out in California say we should pass these laws, and the states should deal with these problems. At other times, they're yelling and screaming. But I think the consistent answer is difficult problems in local legislation, law enforcement, always meant to be locals. So I think today, though, the sentiment is changing, because this attack and the amount of money spent and the people put in prison, it just is outrageous. And so many of these individuals put in prison have never committed a violent crime. That's why in the campaign, the presidential campaign, I took the position that people who committed a nonviolent crime shouldn't even be in prison. And this would reduce the amount of incarceration, the money, tremendously. And we ought to, you know, consider that. And maybe someday that will happen. But it's almost like an empire. It's almost like a big business now. A legal profession, the police department, confiscation of property they do in the name of drug war. It's disgusting how police forces go out and confiscate property, and it doesn't have to even go into court. They say, well, the plane or the car or the boat committed the crime, and they confiscate it. And the police departments end up getting this. It doesn't even go to Treasury. So some of the consequences of this drug war have been outrageous, but I do believe that people are waking up because the drug war has been over the top on the marijuana, and it's not nearly as dangerous as they proposed it to be, and they said that it would lead to addiction and other things. Actually, the most addicting drug available is nicotine, and so far all we do is tax that and push it in the underground economy, but if they would make all tobacco products illegal. It'd always be an underground economy, and then it too would be so difficult to enforce those laws.
Well, you commented earlier, and it bears repeating, that deaths from legal drugs, from prescription drugs, dwarfs the number of deaths from the street drugs, cocaine, heroin, and others.
And you know what? One other thing close to that is the use of the psychotropic drugs. Not only can this lead to problems who are taking it, but almost every kid that took a gun and committed acts of vicious violence in schools and shooting up have been on these drugs. And these drugs have been promoted. You know, there was bills passed in the House of Representatives that introduced this notion that everybody should be tested for mental health disease in grade school. And if there was any suspicion, they were to be recommended or urged to go on to these drugs. But this is a reflection of how powerful the drug industry is, whether it has to do with pushing these drugs. Look at all these military personnel coming home. They get put onto these drugs as well. But just think of how powerful the drug industry was in setting up new medical care laws, you know, Obamacare. They're not yelling and screaming. They always seem to get paid off. So the drug companies are a very, very powerful lobby in Washington.
Well, it was only a couple of generations ago that an 11 or 12-year-old kid could walk into the druggist and buy some of the things that are now considered among the most dangerous of drugs. And yet, on the other side of the coin, you didn't have teenagers and kids shooting one another in the streets to control drug territory at that time.
No, and that is right. I remember in grade school, I worked in a drugstore, and I could buy and sell codeine, you know, in cough syrup, and I never remember once anybody abusing it. So it is societal that way these things are used, but it's also, I think, so often our laws that perpetuate these problems. But, you know, there is a great analogy with the prohibition of alcohol and what's going on today. I mean, it didn't work. It created crime. They finally had to quit. And that's what would happen. You know, there's a concerted effort to keep marijuana off the street or out of the hands and not be legal. And it's promoted by the people who have alcohol, you know, selling alcohol. Maybe, you know, and I'm not the expert to say marijuana is definitely safer than alcohol, that sort of thing. But I think the alcohol people are afraid that it might be cheaper and it might be safer, and that would be devastating. So alcohol people, the manufacturers of alcohol would be very much in support of keeping these laws on the books.
You're listening to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. When we continue, I want to ask Dr. Paul about the drug war and issues of race in America. That's next.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the podcastone.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads, so we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to podcastone.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to podcastone.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, you made great points in the presidential campaign about the disparity of the impact of the war on drugs, particularly the impact on African Americans.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of talk about racism in this country, and sometimes it's overblown and out of context, and it's sort of a lot of political correctness. But I think where there still is a lot of racism, and it's totally ignored because nobody wants to admit how bad the war on drugs is. But if you look at the number of people percentage-wise in minorities versus the Caucasian race, the percentages are about the same. But because there's so many more Caucasians than there are minorities, you would expect a lot more white people to be in prison. But that isn't the case. Proportionately speaking, the prisons are filled with minorities for drug use. So it has been used to be very biased. They don't get a fair shake in court. If you look at even the death penalty, it's much more likely to be, if you're black, that you're going to get the death penalty or be in prison for long term with drug usage. But for some reason, there's not too many people want to talk about this. But I definitely believe that it is very slanted. And that's the place where we should be working on rule of law and justice rather than coming up with some of these other suggestions that there is racism in the country. But I think in the courts is where it exists, and we ought to work to correct that.
Dr. Paul, thank you for this great conversation about the war on drugs. Ron Paul, The Weekly Podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.